Good morning, Grace Fellowship. I really need your help today. This is going to be aired on Sunday morning, and I just believe that you guys play such a big part in my life and in what's happening in our world today. And I'll tell you, I just want to be honest with you. This is a time of crisis, and this really challenges me. Speaking on cameras challenged me. I've got Patrick Hawkins here. He's so been so good about setting this all up and helping us make it look good, and so you'll be able to hear. He really has sacrificed a lot of time and energy in this, but I still need your help, because I believe one of the hard things about this entire ordeal is God created us to live in community. And being separated from people, being quarantined in your house, us not being able to have our church family gather together, it's difficult. And personally, I have such a hard time communicating what's in my heart that doing it on film and through a camera just scares me to death, honestly. And I know a lot of people would tell me that I'm a great communicator, but the truth is, I know what's inside and how hard it is to get it out. And it has something to do with what I want to talk about today. I really do. I want us to be able, you have to hear the Holy Spirit to understand what it is I'm going to talk about today. Because I want to talk about this crisis. And I titled this message, What Does the Wrath of God Have to Do with the COVID-19 Virus? Nothing. What does the virus have to do with the end times? Nothing. And I'm not going to take the time or bore you to death going through a verse-by-verse study to share with you what I believe about this. I just want to share my heart with you, and you're going to have to hear Holy Spirit. And I believe you're able to, and I believe He's able to speak to you. And I just want to share with you my view about what's happening and where God is in all of this. And it really breaks my heart, because I used to really see God from a Western judicial paradigm, that He literally was going to come against all of the people who are opposed to Him with wrath and anger and with a flaming sword. And I really did see God that way. And it's funny, what happened to me was through hundreds, even thousands of encounters with God, personal encounters, and as I would take other people through encounters with God, I saw that He wasn't who I thought He was. And I want to show you tonight, today, this morning, that maybe the way you think things are going to end, maybe there's another way. Maybe God isn't like we've been presented He is. Maybe the truth is He's not a Western judge. He's actually a father who cares about His children. You see, I believe God loves all the people in the world, every man, woman, and child. I really do like that old song, and I think it's true, that Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. And it breaks my heart. I remember a few years ago, I had an encounter with the Lord. And even after my mindset had changed about Him, I still, one day I had, after a series of like several days of intense times with the Lord, I remember at the end of this time, it was such a hard time for me emotionally, in every way. I remember one day, it's like the Father, God the Father, sat down in a chair, and He patted His lap, and He motioned for me to come and curl up in His lap, and it broke me. I couldn't do it. I didn't know a God like that. The God I knew was distant. He was a judge, and He was angry, and He was full of vengeance and wrath, and no one sat in His lap, and that shook up my world. And I want to tell you, through encounters with God, I came to find out that He's the kindest, gentlest, most loving person ever. I've never seen him respond in anger to any of his children. I've never seen him not come and help whenever people are in trouble. And I believe the greatest tragedy in the world is that a lot of Christians, a lot of us, see God as the culprit behind this crisis that we're in. And the truth is, he's not the problem, he's the answer. And I just want to talk to you today about this very, very real question. Is the coronavirus here because of the wrath of God and his judgment upon our nation and the world? Is it the end times going to be a time of pain and suffering and death and vengeance? You see, I don't believe that. And I would just ask you to consider, maybe things are different. Maybe God's different than what you think. And so I want to look at some verses. This is a great verse, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. You see, I believe that God had a plan. I believe that when you're hurting, when you're lonely, when you're uncertain of what's happening, I believe that God's the answer in all of your trials, that we can come to him anytime and he'll always invite us in. He'll never push us away. And I just believe that with all my heart. And I love this verse, and it's one that you guys have heard a lot from me. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. You see, I believe that the gospel brings salvation. That's the word for salvation in every area. I think that God brings salvation in our medical field, in science. God brings salvation in governments. That God is the one who brings us together. When we come together as a community, why is it such a big deal? It's because the life of God flows between us, all of us. And guys, I miss you. And some of you are locked up at home, and you miss the body of Christ. And we're going to ask God to give us creative ways to stay connected, to stay in community. Even though this is the least, I tell you, on film, digitally, I even believe words are very hard to understand. That in my world, personally, I have thoughts that I can't put into words. Even how I see the Lord, it's hard to put into words, you know? And today I want to share with you, even what I'm saying here, this is not the wrath of God. This is not a sign of the end times coming on the world and in America. It is not. God loves you. God loves me. God loves every human on earth as a father loves his own children, as a mother loves her own babies. He cares about every one of us. If you're having a hard time, if you're sick, if people you know are hurting, if your finances are challenged, there's a thousand unknown variables in this world. God's the answer to everyone. And I just want you to know that. You know, it's funny. When you look at that verse in Romans 1:16, he says you live by faith. You live by faith. We don't live by evidence. We don't live by the news. We don't live by the concrete things in this world. You live by faith. And it's funny, when he says live, he means live. Your life doesn't come from stuff. It doesn't come from the lack of pain. It comes from faith. That's the change. That's what happens. I've seen it happen. Some of you guys have already given great testimonies about how even when you were hurting, you turned to the Lord and he was there. He was there. He was there. Whatever you have, whatever needs you have, I want to tell you this. You live by faith, not by the virus, not by science, not by medicine, not by your finances or the economy. You live by faith. And God is bringing, God's good, and he's bringing his kingdom to the world today. And that's a great study to do if you have some time right now. Study the kingdom of God, and you'll see that God's kingdom is going to impact every area of the world, and it already is, and that he's the answer to the crisis that we're in today. And you know what happens? Faith releases the power of God on earth. We need the power of God. Your neighbors need the power of God. The scientists need the power of God. The government officials, our leaders need the power of God. How does that happen? By our faith. It doesn't happen by fear. It doesn't happen by desperation. It happens by faith. And I tell you, it's a big deal. And when you have faith, you have life. It all comes together. You know, I really do love this passage in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, I just want to let you know, the last days began with Christ, with His death, burial, and resurrection. It's not a Holocaust that's going to come. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like leaven. It spreads through the entire loaf. And His kingdom is good. It's not a vengeful judgment upon people. His kingdom brings good, love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. It brings all the power of the Holy Spirit, healing, physical healing, emotional healing, relationships healing, government healing, the economy. God's kingdom is all good. There is nothing bad happening in heaven. And God said, pray that what's happening in heaven will be done on earth. You see, God's kingdom is coming. And here's what it says. It says, in the last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. You see, Jesus is going to inherit all things. Right now, He's seated at the right hand of His Father in heaven, ruling and reigning until all of His enemies are made a footstool under His feet. And we are not His enemies. Satan and his angels, they're the enemies, not humans. Humans are created in God's image, and they're His kids, and He loves them. God has an enemy, and it's not you. It's not me. It's not even the people that don't know Him yet. Those aren't His enemies. Enemies are the darkness. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spirits and authorities in high places. You see, we've gotten confused, and we want to blame people. And the truth is, it's not people. Jesus died for people. God created people in His image, and they're His kids, and He loves every one of us. God's wrath, Romans 1:18. Here's just where I want to start with this. When I talk about the wrath of God, what does the wrath of God have to do with the coronavirus? Nothing. Let's see, maybe I need to repeat that. What does the wrath of God have to do with this virus? Nothing. What does the end times have to do with this virus? Nothing. You see, you've got to start where everything started, and that's with Jesus. Our entire theology, our entire way of thinking and seeing life has to be through the lens of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to present to you this morning. That's why I believe what I believe. It's because when I look at Jesus, I don't see revenge. I don't see anger. I don't see destruction. I see a Savior who came to set captives free. Look what it says. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, right? The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You know, there's more than one way to look at that verse. What I see in that verse is God's wrath comes against what separates from us from a relationship with Him. His wrath is against anything that hinders love. Anything that separates man from their Father is going to incite God's wrath. And it's funny, that word literally is an impulsive action. It's actually, when it talks about sap rising in a tree, it's like that. God's wrath is automatically against anything that comes against love. It's not against us. Because godlessness literally means separation from God. His wrath comes against whatever separates us from Him. It's never been any different, and it's no different today God's wrath is not against you. It's not against me. It's not against our friends who are hurting. It's not against the people who are infected. It's not against the people who died. His wrath is against the things that separate humanity from him. That's why he sent Jesus to the world. So since what may be known about God is plain to them, I want to show you something, and I believe this is true. What separates us from God is us having a wrong view of who he is. What does the wrath of God have to do with the coronavirus? Nothing. A view of God that sees him as the source of what's happening with this virus does not see him the way he is. That is what incites God's wrath. When we don't see him for who he is, and we place our own ideas about him. God gave us ideas about himself. He said, God is love. Now look at what he said in Romans 1 in this passage. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You see, God does not, we've been painted a picture that he is some kind of judge that's exercising vengeance, judgment and vengeance upon humanity. But that isn't who God is. God presents himself as royalty, a father, a king whose children he's made the judgment. My children will be blessed. You see, that's how I see God. He has made a decision that is unstoppable. You are going to be loved. You are going to be blessed. You're going to be well cared for. You're going to be given all the inheritance of the king. You see, Jesus said he's an heir, and we are joint heirs with him. That's who God is. God is a loving father who's giving input into his children's life, and we call that judgment, and God calls it fathering. And I believe that's really true. So, let's go back to the beginning, because the truth is, the Bible says Jesus, in Hebrews 1, it says he is the exact representation of his father. That if you can't see in Jesus what you think about God, you don't see it right. And you need to ask Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I don't understand. What I think about the Father, I don't see in his Son. Then you don't see it right. Well, Alan, what are you saying? I'm saying Hebrews chapter 1 is right. That it says Jesus is exactly like his Father, not partially. There's no good cop, bad cop, guys. So what does God's wrath have to do with the coronavirus? Nothing. Nothing. What about the end times? Nothing. Nothing. God loves man. You go back to Genesis, and when you look what happened in Genesis in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, and you start in verse 7, it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. And then they made coverings for themselves. And in verse 8, you know what they did? They hid from God. Oh, wait, let me think. They separated themselves from their Father. God's wrath breaks out against anything that separates us from him. And you know what they did? They judged God. They decided that God was going to be angry at them, and they didn't see him for who he really was. And you see, that's the very thing that God's anger breaks out on, is when we don't see him for who he is. He's not going to allow that to happen, because he wants relationship with people. And a lot of the Christian world today is saying, just like Adam and Eve did, be afraid of God. See, God, it's funny, because you read this in verse 10, says in verse 8, they hid from the Lord, and then God said, where are you? And way smarter people than me have analyzed that millions of times. okay, God's looking for them. Honestly, I think we have to be careful with putting too much weight on language, because I think language is expressing thoughts and heart. And you're trying to limit God to man's interpretation of his heart with words. And that's hard. We'll never be able to put God in a box. The only box we can put him in is love, because that's the box he put himself in. Now abides these three, faith, hope, and love. That's who he is. What does the coronavirus have to do with God's wrath? Nothing. God loves you. And he's going to be the answer to this virus. He's who's protecting the world. And he uses us. By faith, we are impacting our world. You want to help the fight of this disease? Then live by faith and say God is good. And God's going to give wisdom and insight and direction to the governments, to the scientists, to the doctors, to us. It's amazing how people are caring for other people. I'm seeing it thousands of times around me, and it's just amazing. We even care for other countries, which is totally not like us, Americans, right? So, verse 10, God asked the man, "Where are you?" And the man answered, right? "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid." What was he afraid of? Because he had a wrong understanding of who God is. And Hebrews says it was plain in the world to understand who God was. They were without excuse. God is love. And somehow the man feared God because he was naked. You see what he did? He was attributing something to God's character that wasn't there. Now, I think that's happening in our world too. And you know what? There's a source of that fear. There's a source of that judgment. There is. And it's not man. Look what he says. Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 11. And God said, he said, "Who told you that? Who told you? Who put that thought in your mind? Whatever's pure, whatever's holy, whatever's lovely, think on these things." That's what the Lord says. Someone else told Adam and put a thought in his mind that God was going to be angry and that God was going to be mad and that he was going to have to pay for what he did. God didn't say that. You see, something did happen that day. Something horrible happened that day that God already knew was going to happen because he already planned to give his son. Man was taken captive that day. All of humanity was taken captive by the devil. And it was going to take thousands of years, unbelievable pain and suffering. And then one day, Jesus, the exact representation of God, right, was going to come and be born. And with his very life, with his blood, he paid the ransom to set us free. And he set us free. He set us free so that we could abide in the vine, so that we could live by his blood and by his flesh. We could live by the life that he lived by. Now you and I can live by the same life. And here's the deal. It's the beautiful plan. We call it the gospel. And it's the power of God for salvation, not for damnation. Do you understand that? So guys, this is just a hiccup. It's another way that God's going to bring life to us is through the crisis we're in now. We're going to find creative ways, and you're going to have creative ways, and we're going to live by faith. And God's going to bring life to this world through the body of Christ, not just here in Cabot, but all over the world. People are praying. They're seeking God. When things are tough, you go to him, because through him is where we all receive life. And I just want you to know, there's another way to look at this than that. So ask the Lord. Ask him. You talk to him. You don't have to just believe me. And I could take you in a verse-by-verse study, and we could do that for 1,000 hours, and I could prove my theory to you as far as what I think. And it's just what I've heard from the Lord. And I believe Jesus is good. I believe he loves you. And we're going to miss each other. We're going to have to find creative ways, and creativity comes from Him, creative ways to maintain community, to serve each other. And, you know, we're all so different, you know. We're just so different. Like me, when I'm getting a crisis, I usually start laughing. That is not helpful for a lot of people. I don't know why I do it. It's just part of the thing in me. It's just who I am. Some people get angry. Some people get sad and cry. We're all different. But Jesus is going to be there for every one of us. When I'm hurting, when you're hurting, when you have questions, go to Him. He loves you. And maybe one day you'll get to crawl up in His lap and He'll wrap His arms around you and He'll say, I love you. And when that happens, game over. Nothing else matters. His life takes over everything. So I just want to encourage you this week. I just thank you for paying attention today. And we are. Pray that all of us, our home group leaders, our ministry leaders, the families, check up on people. Be the church, right? Don't forget, we want to make a difference. So I'm telling you, everything you do, your giving, your serving, your praying, your faith, every bit of it matters and it's making a difference. And God's going to win this battle. And I think at the end, all the people that are saying that this is God's judgment on the world, they're going to have to create another way for His judgment to come, because at the end, He's going to win this battle. And we're going to all be a witness to that. And I'm going to say He's good. And I'm going to give Him the credit for every good thing. So blessings this week. We'll be in touch. Maintain a vigil. Watch Facebook. Look at the website, gfcabot.com. Don't forget, we have Vacation Bible School this month. Believe it or not, we're raising money for something that's going to happen this summer that's going to bless people. And everything you do matters. So be the church this week. And thank you, Grace Fellowship. I love you. And if you need anything at all, don't hesitate to call or to contact us.